So what do we think about, what do you think the Torah feels about making nadar, making promises? Good thing, bad thing?
Depends what you're promising.
What do you mean depends what you're promising?
Like, to make a nadar for something that's a good thing, maybe.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is just my guess, not
you
what
think,
it says.
You think we're in favor, not in favor?
Yeah, I feel like growing up, you're like, oh, you're not supposed to do it.
Not supposed to do it. Okay. Because why?
If you violate the nether, then
that's there's only like a downside. You're saying, is there an upside to making a nether?
You didn't ask if there was an upside. You asked what the Torah's view on it was.
I'm asking another question. I'm asking, is there an upside?
If it's something good, it'll push you to do it.
Right. In other words, right. So perhaps like the question is the accountability? In other words, is the motivation maybe that it will provide you? Is that worth the risk of not fulfilling it? Right, that's really important. So now we'll see what the Torah views on that. But like,
Torah says you got to bring a carbon at the end of it. The Nazir has to bring a carbon because of his zendavas.
Right. Well, the Nazir has to bring it again. That's a little more complicated. If you say that the Nazir brings a carbon as a sin offering for becoming a Nazir, so that might still refer to the neder of Nazirus. I'm not sure if it's a general. You know, I'm saying, I don't know if I would extrapolate the whole case in the dark. But there's a debate as to why you're bringing the Nazir brings a korban at the end. If you say it's because it's a bad thing, or the Ratzarama's view, but it might, not sure if it applies to all the dark.
Does it mean you're swearing to do something or not to do something?
Yeah, either one. Probably either one. Let's see this. I think what we're going to see in Parsky says is stuff to do things. So like, Perichav Gimel, let's read this and we'll see if there's any indication one way or the other. Dorim Perachal Gimel Pasuk Chavez. It says Ki Tidor Neder LaHashem Elokecha. When you make a neder to God, Lo Tachel LaShamo. Don't delay to fulfill it. Ki Derosh Rishedu HaShem Elokecha Me Imach VaYebuchachay. Because God will exact, I guess, punishment for you, and it will be a sin for you. The Chisef Dali Dor Lo Yebuchachay. If you don't make a neder, it won't be a sin for you. In you, Motzas Vasechad Yishmor. You should guard whatever comes out of your lips. You should do that which you promised to Hashem your God. The dava is, I guess, Hashem the kind of dava. It's a nedava. Asher di bar tefichah, that which you said in your mouth. So, does this provide greater clarity to you?
Well, I mean, if you use a neder as an halacha, it doesn't say whether it's positive or not.
Right, right. And it's not clear. It's interesting. It just says ki tidor neder l'Hashem. It just says when you make a neder.
You're opening yourself up for a neder.
Oh, it's true. It's true. I'm not denying that. But it's interesting in that the Torah is not taking. Oh, we were good. Okay.
You can drop it off. It's fine.
Yeah, we have all the other things. Okay. So you're definitely opening yourself up. Right, it's pretty clear here. It's interesting. It doesn't say don't do it or like bad. I'm gonna let you do it. Bad idea. It's interesting. It's also interesting. Like it said, when you make a neder, don't delay. And if you don't make a neder, there's no sin. Like, why would you think there would be a sin? You know, like that middle pasuk seems a little strange. Like, why would you think? Like, why would you think? Isn't that obvious? And like the last pasuk also seems to be a little repetitive. There seems to be a little repetitive here, but. There's actually a debate, as to whether it's good to make a neder or not. You have in the Gemara Nedarim, Daf Tesamet Aleph, there's a brayta Tova Sher Lo Tidor. Okay, so, but he says Tov Mizeh Umizeh She'eno Noder Kolikar Dirumer. Mer's of the view better not make a neder at all. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tov Mizeh Umizeh Noder Meshaleh. So there's actually a debate. Rabbi Meir says better not to make a neder at all. Rabbi Yehuda says the best is to make a neder and to complete the neder. Yeah. So we got it not clear here. So again, what's the problem? The downside of making neder is what? Again, what are some of the downsides?
It becomes a chov and you can be over a lot.
Okay, right. So you might not observe. But what's the difference between chav beis and chav dal? What's the downside of chav beis versus chav dal? Maybe. What's the concern of chav beis?
Because it is not fulfilling.
Right. It's actually a little more precise than that. So that's actually not, what's lo tacher l'shavu? So let's be precise here.
Don't delay,
right. Now there's maybe you're not going to do it on time, you're not going to do it at all, right? So, but the same concept, right? So one is you're not going to delay, or one is you're not going to do it. Any other possibilities as to what the problem making a neder is?
I
Yeah, let's just read Rabbeinu B'chai. Rabbeinu B'chai says, right, Chisa Tal Yador, Ein Tzorich Lomar Ki Tachtal Midor Im B'chachei. The Pasuk does not need to say that if you refrain from making nether, there's no sin. Avo Hu Davek L'mala El Ki Tidor. It's connected to Ki Tidor. Kolomar is to say, Im Chadalta B'tchil Lindor. If you refrain from making a nether, lo yeh b'chachei, there won't be a sin. She nether gorm chait, because the nether will cause a sin. V'hu chait ha'ichor. In other words, Pasuk HaGimel is saying, like, bad idea. In other words, if you can make a nether, you can make a nether, but don't delay, because you'll be punished. And just so you should know, if you don't make a nether, everything's okay. So he's sort of saying, Rabbeinu B'chai is saying it's like bad idea, basically. And then he says, "V'chi sechtal lindor lo yivachachet leichor v'chein hanoder gorm chatar rabim milvad chirei haichor." He says, "Also, if you make a nether, you have many sins other than delay. O shelo yuchal leshalem, so maybe you won't complete it. O shelo tia kavanaso beis haneder l'shem shemar legamri. Maybe your intent to make the nether, and when you make the nether, is not completely for the sake of heaven. Maybe it's for some ulterior motive. So maybe you have bad intentions." Okay, and then, what does he say? He says, he quotes Chazal, V'tol mishneh mishneh eino noder kol ikar, etc. Better not to make nether at all. Ela mevi kivsa la'azara v'shachata. But what do you do? Bring a sheep and shecht it. What does he say? What does that mean? Better not make a nether, just bring a sheep and shecht it. What is he saying? What's he saying by that?
Why would you...
Oh, well, why do you need the nether?
You don't need the nether. Just do it, right? You don't need the nether, right? Just do it. Now, there's an interesting Gemara. Look at the next source. Let's try to figure out what this means here. The Gemara in Nedarim Daf Chavez Benal says, Rabbi Nasan Omer Hanoder Kilu Bana Bama VaMakaymo Kilu Makivel of Korban. What does that mean? If you make a nether, it's like you built a bama. What's a bama?
Like an altar.
In
improper space. Right, in improper space. In your backyard. There's a backyard, right. backyard altar. And if you complete it, if you fulfill the nether, it's like you're bringing a korban on it. What's he saying here? Why is making a nether like...
Went only halfway and then complete the process.
No, but then he said, Vamakaimbo, and if you complete it...
Right.
Then it's like you brought a korban.
Someone's saying like it's worse.
Yeah, so like why is it... What's the concern here about making a nether?
Well, for korban on, it's worse than if you just...
But well, why is making a nether like... Why is making a nether like building this backyard altar? Like, why is someone build a backyard altar? I guess. Why would you build one in the backyard?
Convenience.
So it could be lazy. It could be lazy, or maybe yeah. I mean, or
to be Gaiva.
What?
To be Gaiva.
A Gaiva, or like it's easier access. In other words, he wants to do, or he's doing his own thing a little bit. Like, you know, there are Gaiva, like. You're sort of like I'm a little separate from the community. I'm doing my own thing a little bit. So how would that translate into neder, in a sense? In other words, Obama is you try to personalize your own worship that God didn't command. So neder maybe is also like that, right? You don't need it. Why do you need neder? You like
you're commanding yourself,
and you command yourself, and you're sort of separating yourself, like you said, a little bit of gaiva, like I make it neder. Look at me, I'm building, like I'm doing my own thing. You don't need to do that. Just there's so many mitzvahs to begin with. Why are you adding to yourself? It's like a little bit. It's like making. It might relate to, I don't know, maybe chumras, and maybe like it's like you know, separate yourself from the community. You know, I it's not enough that God's and the rabbis tell me what to do. Now I'm going to add more on it. Like, you know, it's like you're maybe like you appear like you're a gaiva, maybe something like that. So we got concern is you're not going to fill the nether or in timely fashion, bad intentions, or it's like. Maybe inappropriate stringency. Why do you need to do it? The Ramban has an interesting take. The Ramban says, the Torah doesn't simply say, like, again, this language of, and if you refrain from making another, there won't be a sin. Like, what's going on here? So the Ramban says, if you offer sacrifices, you get a big reward. What's the value of a neder? What's zeruz b'mitzvah? Zeruzus. What's the value of a neder? We said
it. You should be fast.
Right. No. It's a motivating. Like in other words, if I make a neder, then you create accountability and it's a motivation. Uchsiv in the pasuk says, "Nedarai Lashem Hashalem Negdin Al Chalmo." You make a neder in Tehillim itself. We sing in Hallel, "Nedarai Lashem Hashalem." I'm going to fulfill my neder. So Lefichach Yomar Hakosuv Hishamar Bin Darecha. Like the question is, how seriously do we take our words? Like, do you say, "I'm going to make a neder"? It's going to motivate. I mean, these are interesting questions, right? In other words, let's assume I'm making a statistical question. I don't know statistics about it. Let's say if you make a neder, right? So that means let's say you have a statistic, and you say if I make a neder, so I am 50% more likely to do what I'm doing, and there's or whatever. Let's say I'll do something 8 out of 10 times. What I make if I make a neder, I'm going to do something 8 out of 10 times. If I don't make a neder, we do it 5 out of 10 times, right? So is it better that you're going to do it 3 more times, but 2 of the times you're going to violate neder? Like it's a question. Like that's why you have kol nidre and tar sedar. But like. It's an interesting
question. I would think, if you're violating a love, that's a problem. It's not something that you have to do.
Right.
So I would think for sure you can't do that.
What if I were to tell you, let's make the numbers a little different. Let's say 9 out of 10 times and only 1 out of 10 times you
would
do
it.
Doesn't matter. You don't care. You know, even if you would do 1,000 more mitzvah saseh and you violate it once, it's still better.
Obligated to
I understand, but if the results, if we look at statistics.
If you don't do mitzvah saseh, then it's like a shei b'al tasa. But if you have a neder, then it becomes more like a lav.
Lo techer l'shavo. You know, you're right. Okay. But I'm just saying, like, is there some point by which you would say, you know what, if there's some point by which I say, you know what, if I'm so much more likely to do something, then maybe it's worth the risk, even if what I won't do it. John, you think it's never worth the risk.
Probably is, but we don't necessarily know that.
We don't know that. Right, right. Well, you can run the numbers. You can run the numbers. You put out one of those surveys. Okay. So Rabban says, Lefichach Yobar Hakasav Yishavar Bid Darecha. Therefore, the pasuk says, be careful with your dad there. Kiafo Pishu Zeres Bekarbanos Hashem Hashem Hebel Chol Ratzon. Even though it works, even though they work as a motivating factor, Tador, if you make a neder, Tador, if you make a neder, Tavoli Dechet, Tavoli to a sin, Iblo to Shalev, O Tachel Shabo, if you don't fulfill it or if you delay. Vimlo Tidor, Lom Tzachet, Binyan Klau. And if you don't make a neder, you're not going to sin at all. Ki Afil Lo Hikriv, Lo Takriv, Korban Kol Yabecha. Because even if you never bring a Korban all your days, Lo Yabecha Chet, it's not going to be a sin. Ib Kate, if so, Tishmor Motzas Vasecha, Shir Totsi Yadar Picha. You have to be careful. Whatever comes out of your mouth, you got to do. You should do that which you said. And make sure that you fulfill that which you say. In other words, don't think that motivation is so important, because if you don't, then it's okay. And as he says, what does Shlomo say? Don't delay. Hashem doesn't want fools. Better, again, let's think about this. He's quoting Koheles. Tov asher lo tidor misha tidor v'lo tshalem. What does that mean? Tov asher lo tidor misha tidor v'lo tshalem. What does that mean?
Better somebody shouldn't make a promise than make a promise and not fulfill it. But
it still doesn't answer the question. Like, we want Koheles or Torah to tell you, don't do it. He's still not saying it. And what's interesting, at the very end of this Rabban, he says, where this is, but he says, one second. The question is there a time, my 3 lines for the bottom, right, he quotes this pasuk in Koheles, pasuk Hey, Al tiyas picha lachtias pasarecha, v'al tomar lefei abak shkagu. Don't commit a sin with your mouth and just tell the angel, oh, it's a mistake. No, you can't say that, oh, because I wanted to do it, and that's good enough. I made a narrative to motivate myself. I wanted to do it. Okay, I wasn't able to do it. It wasn't my fault. No, it's bad. Don't do it. But look what he says. He quotes this, kolobar shelo tarba midadarim. What's tarba midadarim? Speak a lot of them, which means what?
Some are okay.
In other words, I'm just saying, it's interesting. So like, even though it seems it's very bad to do, there seems to be this kind of opening from Chumash, from Kohelet, that is there a time when it might be okay? What? There's one time in the Torah where someone made a neder. Who made a nether in the Torah? The Baal, good. Right. I love asking questions. That's totally fine. Who made a nether, right? Yaakov Avinu, he makes a nether. Oh, it was before Ban Torah, so it's okay. Right? Did he keep it all time? Vayidor Yaakov nether lemor. And Yaakov made a nether saying, Im Hashem Elokim, Im Yeh Hashem Elokim Amadi, Im Yeh Elokim Amadi, if God is with me, Ushmarani Vader Chazesh Anochelech, Vanatim Nasani Lechem Lachob Eglobosh, and Hashem gives me bread to eat and clothing to get dressed, Vishavti Vishalo Beisavi, and I will return in peace to the house of my father, Vayishav Elokim, and Hashem will be for me for God. Vayavid Azos, by the way, it's not actually clear where the condition ends and what he said he's going to do. Like, what's the condition and what will he do? It's not exactly clear. Is that Pasuk Chavalef? Is that the condition or what he's going to do? But okay. This stone that I'm putting as a matzeva, as a monument, will be a house of God. And whatever you give me, I'm going to tithe. I'm not going to analyze this nether, but what's clear is that Yaakov Avinu did make a nether here. Okay? Again, so I just want to point out how we pass Halacha L'maaseh. The Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya says in Hilchos Adarim, Simon Reish Gimel, Al Tehi Ragil Bidadari. So he opens, he seems to say that you are allowed to take risks. Just don't be Ragil Bidadari. Don't be careless. In other words, listen, we have something called Hatar Sadarim that is a mechanism in Judaism. So Hatar Sadarim is a mechanism in Judaism. Okay. So Hataras Adarim is a mechanism that works.
But Hataras Adarim didn't exist when the Torah was given to us, did it?
Not the formulation. In other words, you're saying the ritual may not, but the halacha. There's go gemaras about the Adarim how to be matur neder. So they're. The formulation, the thing of Rosh Hashanah, that's a later invention. Chol Nidre is probably the time of the Geodim. But the concept of Hataras Adarim exists. So I'm just pointing out to you that there's a downside in the Adarim, and people may mess up, but there is an allowance, right? There is a way to get out of it, okay? And so he says, don't be ragel by the Adarim. He says, Kol Anodir Afshim Ekaimo Nikra Rasha Nikdechote. So it's like, don't have too many, and if you make a nether, if you fail, you call the Russian a chulti. So he's not excited about it. Again, what that means, Shulchan Aruch is not excited about it. It's a lot of discussion. But he does say, Ba'es Tzara Mutar Lidor. In times of crisis, you're allowed to make a nether. Why would crisis be different? I mean, Yaakov's story is a time of crisis. Why do we think in times of crisis it would be permitted? Why would that be a difference in times of crisis?
It's almost like a prayer.
Right.
Like offering something to God.
Right, and so therefore, what we think is more likely you're going to fulfill it, or like we want to encourage people to pray. Is that?
Well, it could strengthen your belief in God.
Ah, so they say that the encouragement to make a nether is it's a very spiritual. A nether could be something very spiritual, and we want to encourage that type of spirituality in times of crisis. Mm. Oh, very nice. Okay, I like that. This is the introduction to the Pnei Yeshua. This is from ChatGPT, not the Pnei Yeshua, but it was in Hebrew. I love ChatGPT. I just put it through ChatGPT, so hopefully most of it is correct. And so we read the English here. So the Pnei Yeshua, he's like a commentary. He's a 17th century commentary on the Gemara. And so he says, there are a few stories of Gedolim who have taken upon themselves the Dharma. So it's Pnei Yeshua, again, like some guy, you say Yeshiva, so they it's commentary. Like Rashi and Tosos, the main Achron, a major Achron, who comments on Rashi and Tosos, the argument is the Pnei Yeshua. So he says, so in his introduction, he writes, I've taken myself as an obligation, and I vowed, in response to a vow, during my time of distress, Be'ez Tzara, on the day of Hashem's wrath, on the third day of Kislev, in the year, right, 5403, 1642, in the Holy Community of Lvov. Pretty good translation so far, right? I was at peace in my home, and thriving in my base medrash with friends and students listening to my voice, when suddenly, without warning, the city was turned into a pile of rubble in an instant, with no hands touching it. We did not hear the sound of terror, and only the sound of a burning fire that broke out. So there was a major fire in Lvov in 1642. A great and fierce fire appeared, which engulfed our palaces and windows, which is exactly Heichalos, probably, our Bate Midrash, through many large and terrifying barrels full of gunpowder, causing the fire to burn everything. Okay. The houses were destroyed from their foundation. Several large and fortified houses with walls reaching up to the heavens were reduced to dust and leveled to the ground, down to the very foundation. 36 Jews were killed. Among the victims were members of his household, his first wife, his mother, her mother, so his wife, his mother-in-law, and her grandmother. Disaster even my little daughter, who was the only child her mother had, and especially dear to me. I too was among the fallen, from a high roof to a deep pit. I descended to the depths of the earth, truly trapped beneath the rubble, like being inside a press due to the weight of the layers of debris that fell upon me. The beams of our house crushed me, heavier than those of an olive press. I could not breathe. My hands and limbs were not under my control. I thought that my days were numbered, that I would die young, that I would not see people anymore among the living. I feared that my house would become my grave, that I would suffer all forms of death, stoning, burning, decapitation, strangulation, the army's basement, simultaneously. You know, it was a bad situation, because he was stuck, right, with this rubble, fires coming. All four of these deaths seemed to have befallen me at once. Furthermore, the beams of the house, its furniture, and its stones seemed to be like complete witnesses. I said to myself that they might strike me as witnesses are the first to execute judgment, the chaotic dead person. Okay, it's very colorful in describing this. However, in Hashem's mercy, he did not let harm befall me. About a third or a quarter of an hour after the collapse and the wrathful sound of destruction had ceased, though the noise of thousands, tens of thousands of people trampling over the roof continued to roar, the earth trembled beneath their feet. Many were trampled to death by the collapse. So people are running away now, and many people are, you know, being trampled in the crowd, even more than the initial destruction, though their intention was to save those trapped under the rubble. So I guess there's fire, there's destruction, and there's people trying to save people under the rubble, and people being trampled. In the end, I escaped from certain death into a state of uncertainty. At that moment, while still trapped beneath the rubble, I said, if God is with me, and delivers me safely from this place, and he builds me a secure house, and enlarges my influence with students, I will not withhold myself from the walls of the Beis Medrash. I will devote myself to delving into the depths of the Gemara and its commentators, and immerse myself deeply into the intricacy of halacha, even repeatedly setting a single topic. Let me read you the end. I only fit on one page. He said, this is what my soul yearned for, to follow the footsteps of my ancestors, especially my great-grandfather, the renowned, distinguished scholar, the eminent and pious Rabbi Yeshua of blessed memory. He was the head of the rabbinical court and a teacher of the Krakow community, and he authored the book Megidei Shlomo, which resolved the question of Tosfos and Rashi and clarifies difficulties left unresolved by Tosfos. At that time, we had not yet merited to see the light of this book, but our ancestors told us about it, and my soul longed to follow its ways. Before I could finish speaking these words of my heart, God heard my cry and provided me a path between the pillars. A kind of clear road was formed for me, and I escaped unharmed without any injury. I then knew with certainty that this was truly the work of Hashem, a place where no salvation was to be expected. From that moment on, I resolved in my heart that my primary study would be in the matters of halacha, in the Gemara, and the commentators, and that I would not write anything on homiletics or other fields of learning that were distant from the central pursuit of truth, except the rare occasions. Okay. Only when I discover something new in the Talmud, or Rashi and Tosfos, and it seems to be to follow the true method of learning, will I choose to write it in my book of remembrances. So this example, Beis Sara, he made a promise. It's one of two other examples I found. There's a sefer called Mishpat Levi, no, you don't have it, where he says, apparently in the War of Independence, 1948, where Rav Aaron Cutler, right, he's the founder of Lakewood, Rav Aaron Cutler was with Rav Shalom Shvadron, so these were two gedolim, they were in Eretz Yisrael, they were hiding from the bombings under a table. Rav Aaron Cutler apparently was heard addressing Hashem, he was pleading, saying he still had much to learn and teach the people of Yisrael, and apparently he was also made a neder. And you know, he built up Lakewood. There's also in the introduction. There's a statement called Eimav Bar Smecha. Eimav Smecha was written by Yisrael Tachtal. He was like a chassid who became a Zionist. And some of the yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, I'm sure, in Gush Levi, a lot of the yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, like they want like the proofs that, you know, the state of Israel is a gift from God. So the statement called Eimav Bar Smecha was about this rabbi. I think it was Hungary, I think, and he made a switch. He was part of the Hasidic community. And he became a religious Zionist. He wrote this whole statement called Eimav Bar Smecha about, you know, why this is from God. And he also writes that he made also a promise. He says, I'll read a little bit here. He says that when we were in tremendous, there were a lot of sorrows. And I said to myself that if Hashem is saved, then I'm going to write this book. And he cites Yaakov Avinu. So we are there are stories of Gedolim who basically made this Beisara. So it could be that maybe it motivates you for Tefillah Beisara. In other words, there could be a downside, but it motivates you for Tefillah Beisara. It's like, on the one hand, we can live our lives, we're nervous about saying anything, and that's always the safe course of action. I wonder, as I'll just finish with this, if sometimes it's good to feel a little bit Beisara. In other words, we also need some passion in our lives. Now, sometimes if we always like take the, if we always take the risk-free course of action, then we're not going to try new things. Because I'm nervous, I'm not going to keep my promise. You see what I'm saying? In other words, you want to commit to whatever it is. You have some goal in religion that you want to commit to, whatever that is. I don't want to commit it because then I'm going to obligate myself and I may violate my obligation. But if you don't commit yourself, then and it's always an option, then you might not do it. It's like, for example, there's certain mitzvahs that men do that women don't do because men have a chiyuv and women don't have a chiyuv, right? There's more men come to minyan. I'm not judging. I'm saying more men, let's say, go to minyan than women do because for men, this might be more of a chiyuv as opposed to women, it might be a chiyuv, right? So what I'm saying is sometimes creating a neder creates passion and desire. So I would say, it would seem to me that, on the one hand, don't just make nedarim because it's not important to make a lot of them because we want to take what we say seriously also. You want to be careful with what you say, it seems. It would seem to me that, we read Parshas Ki Tzeitzei in Elul, that maybe Elul, Rosh Hashanah might be okay to make some nedarim. It's not the end of the world, again. You can say bleed neder, but yeah, I think it's okay because I think that there's value. I mean, all of Rosh Hashanah is like feeling we're in crisis and we need to get better. So even though there's this like safe course of action of not making neder, I can see why the Torah doesn't come out and say, you should not make a neder. And when Halacha comes out and say, don't be ragil b'nedarim, be'ez tzara it's permitted, to give you that out, because sometimes either we are in an esara and then we should, reach out in tefillah, and maybe sometimes we need to try to create an esara for ourselves because we need it.
Those are my thoughts. I would think an